All right, take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 29. This has been the longest 4 or 5 week Bible study we've had because it's been broken up 3 different times. We have started a study on the book of Proverbs, and I spent 4 or 5 weeks about the book of Proverbs. Then we went into characteristics of a fool, and tonight we're going to finish up our study on characteristics of a wise person. And then next week we'll jump into a totally different topic in Proverbs. I'm not going to tell you what that is yet because I've got about 3 different directions that I'm leaning, and all at the same time, amen? So I'm not sure which one the Lord wants us to start with next, but as I've said before, let me just review just a little bit. All of us are born foolish. The Bible says that we were born with foolishness. That's because of sin. And that means none of us are always wise all the time. Matter of fact, the Bible says great men are not always wise. So even though we flounder in our foolishness, God still wants us to be wise. Yes, you know, there's wisdom is available if you ask for it. God said, I'll give you wisdom if you ask for it. But yet, we humans tend to want to follow our own flesh. Well, this is what I think. I hate to disappoint you. It's not a matter what the preacher thinks. What does God say?
That's right.
This is his book. These are his words. He wrote them. He said them. We have no authority. We have no power to say, well, this is what I think. It's what does God say? You say, well, preacher, you're a literalist. Thank you very much. I've been told other things, too. Well, you're old-fashioned. I'll take that as a compliment as well. Part of being a wise person, though, is knowing who wise people are. The Bible says, they that walk with wise men shall be wise.
That's right.
So there has to be a way for us to recognize foolish people and wise people. Now, let me review. A simple person does not understand between right and wrong. Asa, you're what? 8, 9 years old? 9 years old? Man, you're getting old. Asa's 9 years old. He's a bit simple to life. Neil, he doesn't know how to go out and work 40 hours a week and pay the bills. Matter of fact, he doesn't even know what the bills are. He's simple to those things, not because he's bad, not because he's rebellious. He just hadn't grown into those things yet. Doesn't understand that responsibility. So that is simplicity. Not really understanding right and wrong per se, to the full extent. Then a foolish person knows what right is, but chooses wrong. A foolish person knows what's right, but instead of choosing right, they'll choose the wrong way. Therefore, a wise person is someone that knows what's right and wrong and chooses to obey God and follow right. And that is exactly what we're dealing with here. And I'm showing you characteristics out of the book of Proverbs of what God said a wise person is. We're going to finish them up tonight. I'm going to give you Numbers 24 through 28 of them. So there's 5 of them tonight. And I think if everything works just right, we should even be done a couple minutes early. But don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. We're not there yet. All right. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Sorry, but I'm so stinking hot right now. I'm about to die. Okay, there went 20 degrees. Praise the Lord. Okay. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Turn also just a page or two over. Proverbs chapter 31. Look at verse number 26. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Notice, both times it talks about the tongue of a wise person or the mouth of a wise person. Here's the principle I want you to get. Wise people think before they speak. Wise people think before they speak. A fool uttereth all his mind. Did you know foolish people talk a lot? That doesn't mean every person that talks is a fool. But it does mean this. The more one talks, the more prone to becoming foolish you can become. See, Brother Hiles used to say it this way. Don't tell everybody everything you know because somebody might ask you a question. I heard that so many times in Bible college. Fellas, don't preach everything you know because somebody's going to ask you a question. Boy, was he right. Wise people don't just say whatever comes into their mind. Do you know there are some things that come into my mind that should not be said at the time I'm thinking them? It's not necessarily that it's a bad thought. It's just not appropriate for the time. I've been in the ministry full-time almost 30 years. For a while, I was a Christian school principal. That gets to be exciting. On my desk, I used to have my name doojigger on my desk, and on the back of it, I had a little piece of paper that said, "The only reason some people are still alive is because it's illegal to kill them." I'd get into one of those situations where I was about ready to turn somebody's nose inside out, and I'd look at that thing and just smile. They thought I was happy. They didn't know what I was smiling at. I didn't tell them what I was thinking, all right? Wise people don't just say everything that comes into their mind. The Bible says in the book of James, our tongue is like a fire. If we're not careful, we say things without thinking. I'll make another statement here. Wise people look in all directions before they speak to see how it's going to affect everyone. Before you talk to your wife, think this way, that way, that way, that way, that way, that way. Are the kids around? Who's listening? Are the neighbors out? How loud am I going to say this? What needs to be said? And am I going to hurt my wife while I say this? Before you say that which is in your mouth, about ready to come out, have you thought in all directions how it's going to affect? You know, sometimes we as adults forget children shouldn't hear certain things, not because they're wrong, but because they're not mature enough to understand or be able to assimilate what it is. How is it going to affect somebody after you say it? Think of that before you say it. I had somebody call me today. It wasn't a pastor. It was a leader from a pulpit committee. They were not asking me to come to their church. Praise the Lord. And I wasn't going anyway, but they needed help. There's a certain situation. And I was very cautious with my words. I said, I don't want to know any negative, but I need to know some information so I can help you the best I can. I said, I don't want any gossip. I don't want any negative. I said, and if you start in it, I'm going to tell you to stop or I'll hang up. He said, boy, you're different. I said, that's a word I haven't heard in a long time. I said, I don't need to know, but I need to know was any of this involved in this situation? He said, oh, no. I said, that's all I need to know. I don't need to know anything else. And on we went. He said, you really don't care, do you? I said, no, it's not going to change anything. Not going to help you, not going to help me. Why do I need to put it into my brain? He said, I like you. I think I want to listen to you more than everybody else I've talked to so far. So about 35 minutes later, we hung up. And I was able to help them a little bit. Say why? Because I was very cautious on what I said. I don't know where that person, I had never met them before, still don't even know, really know who they are. Wise people think how people will receive their words, not how they're intended to be received. Let me say that again. Wise people think about how your words are going to be received, not how you intend them to be received. I know very sincere people that say hurtful things. Okay, let me look around here. No, nobody in recent days or weeks has had this happen. A lady will miscarry, lose a child. Our son and daughter-in-law have lost two children that way. I often will counsel a lady and say, people don't know how to say the right thing. You're going to have to forget what people say and just accept the fact that people said something. Don't listen to what they say. Just accept that they said something. And if it hurts, just forget about it and go on and say they meant well. They didn't intend for it to hurt. All of you ladies that have babies know what I'm talking about. You get about 6 months along and everybody can tell you exactly what to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you're like, just leave me alone. Let this thing happen, you know? But it's one of those things. We don't often think about how it's going to be received. We just think of our sincerity and that we're saying it with a right heart. Just in the last couple of weeks, I called a pastor and I said, I need you to talk to somebody and back them off. I said, they're very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. They've crossed a line and they're hurting somebody in my church. I said, either you fix it or I will. And I won't be as nice about it because I can't lose them out of my church. They're not in my church. I said, I don't plan to hurt them, and I believe they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong in this case. And that pastor wisely waited a little bit of time and has fixed it. But when that pastor called me, he said, you know, you were very cautious and careful how you said that, but you are exactly right. They were sincere. Most people would have only seen the act, not the sincerity behind it. I said, it doesn't matter how sincere you are, though, the act was still wrong. I said, there's going to be a lot of sincere people, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And he'll say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting darkness. A lot of sincere people that think they're Christians are going to die and go to hell because they never trusted Christ as their Savior. Doesn't matter how sincere you are if you're sincerely wrong. We have to think before we speak, not just our own sincerity, but how it will be received. Wise people, look at Proverbs 31 again. I love this verse. I want you to notice, and by the way, these are God's words. They're not man's words. God knows how to choose his words. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, look at verse number 26 again. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. Now watch this. And in her tongue is the, what's the next word? Law of kindness. God said that we should have a law of kindness about our words.
That's good.
We ought to make it a legal issue with our words. My daughter's here. She's, how old are you, 20, 21, something like that? 20 going on 30. I'm going to marry the toe-headed idiot next year and all that other good stuff. Now, wait a minute. She can tell you, growing up, I didn't let my kids talk about negative things. It was a law at our house. And if somebody crossed the line, I'd say, that's it. But, Dad, no, that's it. If you want help with it, let's go talk where it's just you and me. Otherwise, hush up. Nobody else needs to hear this. And we still are that way. We don't talk about negative things. My wife and I don't talk about negative things. My wife is not my assistant pastor. If you've been in my office, my wife can't tell you what it was unless she was sitting in my office with me. Say why? She doesn't need to carry the load I carry. She needs to be there to keep me encouraged. She doesn't need to know everybody's problem. That's my job. That's not her job. She's not the assistant pastor. Now, she's helped some of you ladies and you teens and that different things, and I get that. But I don't go home and tell my wife all the dirty details of everything that takes place. Now, she'll make hospital visits with me or somebody's sick, that kind of thing. I'll mention that to her. But if somebody's having a fuss or having financial troubles or something like that, she doesn't know about it. Say why? Not hers to worry about. That's mine. We've made it a law of kindness in our house. We ought to put a law means there's no exceptions. Did you know the law is good for everybody? one of my preacher friends. I love it. He sent me something the other day and said, if you're having a really bad day, just sit down and think. Out in the world somewhere, there's a Mr. Pelosi. I was dying. I couldn't help it. I wasn't going to use it, but I did. It wasn't real kind, but you get the point. You know, we need to make in our mouth a law of kindness. Boy, what would happen to the United States of America if the press would let that happen? Yeah, we could get rid of them. So, the Bible says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. You know, sometimes you just got to wait your turn to say things at the right time. I mentioned a situation a little while ago with some folks at the county. Folks, I've been dealing with this for a year and a half, almost 2 years. This isn't a spur-of-the-moment thing. I had it planned. And I said, after the last event, that's the last time. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. God and I had a talk, and I said, this is it. After that, I'm going to come unscrewed a little bit and put the pressure on. It's been planned. It's not just something I'm flying off the handle about. I'm not going to go down kicking and screaming and hollering and everything else. But we're going to go down and talk like men should talk. And if I got to get in somebody's grill, I'll get in somebody's grill appropriately and say, this has got to stop. And we'll get it fixed. Amen? So that's what a wise person's tongue is. By the way, I'm not the greatest example of it. I'm working at it just like you are. Proverbs next. Proverbs chapter 30. Look at verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 30. Look at verse number 24. Oh, I love these. Look at verse 24 and 25. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. So, point number 25 is this. Wise people plan and organize. Wise people plan and organize. God says that a wise person is supposed to be like an ant. Ants are always busy getting food ready for when they can't get food. They're some of the most industrious little creatures on the face of the earth. They can be some of the most annoying creatures in the face of the earth. Amen? They're everywhere. But wise people need to prepare like the ants do. Wise people endure hard times because they planned ahead for the hard times. One of the reasons... I've had preachers say, preacher, aren't you going to build a bigger building? We're building a 6,000 square foot building. We're going to fill it fast. I said, no, because I'm building based off the offerings of my people, and I haven't fleeced everybody to get them to give up their life savings to build a bigger building. We're going to build it, fill it, and if we can fill that, we can afford to build another building. We're going to build what we can afford to build. I'm not going to build big ornate buildings and go millions of dollars into debt saying, well, if we build a nice enough and big enough building, people will just come. I know churches all over America that are shutting down and going bankrupt over that kind of mess. We're not going to do that. We're going to build based on what our offerings are and what we can afford. You say, well, that might hurt some of our growth in a couple of years. Well, at least we're not going to be in debt way over our head that we can't afford in the process. Wise people plan ahead. Wise people don't fly by the seat of their britches. Again, my hero, Brother Hiles, used to say this, you fly by the seat of your britches, eventually something hangs out. There's a lot of truth to that. I hear people say all the time, oh, I do my best work when I'm under pressure. Can I tell you why? Because you don't have the character to plan ahead. Planning ahead takes the pressure off to where you don't have to work that way. Okay, I'm not looking anywhere right now because I'm just going to get in all kinds of trouble, I'm sure. Wise people make the most of their time at work so they have time to enjoy work time outside of work. My secretary will tell you, I plan when to plan things. We have three ladies' meetings every year. We plan these things months in advance. Do you know we plan even when the planning meetings are? And I don't think about them. I might see an idea out somewhere. I'll write it on one of my 3x5 cards and get back to the office and say, here, throw this in our ladies' meeting file. She'll do the same thing. We have a ladies' meeting file. We'll just throw them in there. When it comes time, we pull those out. We'll look at those, get some ideas. We plan it. And then we set a couple more meetings, and we plan it the rest of the way, and we go from there. I plan even when I plan to work. And by the way, my deadlines aren't when things are due. My deadlines are well in advance. That way, I don't have a problem. I like giving myself a week or two leeway there. Yeah, I can perform under pressure like everybody else can. But I got enough things going on right there. Now, I don't need added pressure. Everybody doing okay? I'm not looking over there. All right. Wise people don't have to work overtime to pay their bills. They live within their means. If you live based on your overtime, be careful. Your overtime is to be your extra money, not your living money. You say, well, I bought so many extras, now I have to live on it. That's your problem. You didn't plan. Wise people plan way before an urgent need comes in order to be ready. I believe we ought to plan our lives. I'm going to preach a sermon maybe Sunday night. I'm not sure. God says, prepare to meet thy God. He said, I have prepared for you a place. God is for preparing and planning. Now, that doesn't mean you have to ask God what time to breathe. There are people who say, well, I don't like schedules. I feel too confined. Can I tell you why? Because you don't have the character to live by one, because you're afraid you might find you're not doing everything you're supposed to do. I enjoy schedule. Schedule is my safety. My wife will tell you, I can't sleep even on vacation. I get up at the same time or earlier every day of my life. I haven't set an alarm to get up unless it was to go to the airport at 2 o'clock in the morning. And even then, I'm usually up before the alarm goes off. I have this weird ability to say, okay, God, I got to get up at this time. Wake me up. And I get up. Now, I'm not as happy about it as anybody else. I don't like getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to a stupid airport. But sometimes you got to do those things. It's part of life. But wise people plan way before an urgent need happens so that they don't have to plan under crisis. I'm going to move on because I got to hurry here. Number next. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 26. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in rocks. Now, I want you to notice, verse 24 said, there be four things which are littered upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. God is teaching us wisdom on these four animals. The next one is the coney, and that is wise people protect themselves from wickedness. Wise people protect themselves from wickedness. Can I tell you why a lot of Christians mess their lives up? They don't plan away from wickedness and away from evil. We don't protect ourselves. Wise people keep strength around them. I cannot tell you that I agree 100% with our current president. I agree with him 100% more than I did the last one. That's for sure. There are things I'm sure I would differ on than our current president. But I will tell you this. I can tell you what kind of leader he is by the kind of people that he has surrounded himself with. He has surrounded himself with strong people in areas where he's not strong. Wise people surround themselves by people who are strong in areas that they're weak. Wise people don't expose their weakness to everybody. the day's coming where we'll hire some staff people around here. I'll hire someone who has strengths that I may not have. It doesn't mean that I don't know anything about those things. For instance, we'll hire somebody who has some musical ability. That can sing a little bit.
Amen.
Yes. Wait a minute. I've had college music theory. I read both clefs. I can play about a half a dozen different instruments. I understand music. It doesn't come out of here like that. I get that. But at the same time, I understand music. I can read key signatures. I can read time signatures. I can read the accidentals. I can read major chords, minor chords, augmented chords. Go on and on and on. I get it. And I can think musically, but I don't have the time to put into it. I gave up playing musical instruments years ago. I had to choose whether I wanted to play music or I wanted to reach people. My choice was people. Somebody else can do the music. Obviously, somebody else can do the singing. But I'll hire someone who has a strength there. You say, why? Because they can cover for my lack of strength there. My lack of the ability to put the time in it to be strong there. Wise people don't try to keep up with everyone else. They're secure with those around them. We'll hire somebody, and I will let them exceed in the areas that they're given to exceed in. Somebody will be hired to take the teenagers in the youth department and help me with that. They'll reach more teenagers than I probably can reach on my own. They'll have a strength at it. That doesn't mean that I hate teenagers. I love them. I love being around teenagers. I love watching them do things I'm not going to do anymore. I do. I love being around teenagers. They're fun. One of the best things, we went to youth conference last March over at Brother Fugit's, and man, I love being around a bunch of teenagers. It makes you feel young until they tell you when they were born. And then you feel old real fast. You look at all of them and you think, ugh, okay, I'm older than every one of your parents just about. So I get that. But wise people keep strong people around them and make things stronger because of that. I'm not intimidated by strong people. I'm not the strongest person in the world. I get that. But I'm not intimidated. My daddy taught me you don't look up or look down to anybody. Look everybody square in the eye.
That's good.
Square in the eyeball. Don't you look down on anybody. Don't you look too far up at anybody. Everybody's the same way. I call it the duck philosophy. Do you ever see a duck swimming? Just kind of glides across the water. Do you ever see the underside of a duck when they're swimming? They're paddling furiously. Like this. A good leader is like a duck. Calm and smooth on top and pedaling for everything he's got to stay afloat underneath. Hiding your panic. You say, how do you do that? You keep strong people around you that can help you and protect you in those times. The conies built their homes in the rocks because it was a strength and it was a protection from all of the enemies. That is exactly what a wise person is to do. You build in that protection around you. I've got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse number 27. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. Wise people don't have to be supervised all the time. Wise people don't have to be supervised all the time. You say, well, I get more done when the boss stays on me. In other words, you're saying you're not a wise person. I'm going to make a statement here. My dad is one of the hardest working men I've ever met in my whole life. He taught us to work hard. But he didn't teach us to work hard just when he was around. He taught us to work hard when he wasn't watching.
That's good.
I remember the first job I got. I was delivering pizzas for a little Greek fella on the little pizza restaurant. I remember my dad showed up there one night. I was out delivering pizzas. I walked in the door and there stood my dad. He was talking to the boss. He said, "Yep, just had a good talk with your boss." I thought, "Oh, no." He said, "Just making sure you're working hard." And told him, "If you're not, give you a good swift kick in the seat or fire you." He said, "Did you believe that?" "Uh-huh." Next place I worked, very same thing. I don't know how many bosses my dad talked to and said, "If he backs off, fire him." He didn't want me working hard just because he was watching. He wanted me to work hard when nobody else was watching.
That's good.
I'm glad I learned how to work hard when nobody else is watching. Wise people don't have to be told what to do all the time. I was working in a machine shop while I was going through college. There's times there was downtime on a machine. I'd pick up a broom and start sweeping, pick up a rag and start wiping down machines. I'd be moving chips around and taking them outside and asking the boss, "You got parts that need deburred? You need this done? What do you need done? What can I do?" He'd say, "Craig, you got two machines to run and you're asking for more work." He said, "Two men ran those machines and ran half the parts as you ran all day long and didn't do anything of the extra work." And I said, "Don't care what they did. My dad taught me don't lean, clean." I said, "What you got?" And we kept working. It's amazing how that sometimes when they needed extra parts run, they'd say, "Hey, Bush, can you run this machine tonight? I know it's impossible to get it done, but give me as much as you got." I got the boss to come down and fiddle with feed rates and speeds on machines and take a few alarms off and cut a few seconds off here and there. I remember working one entire 8-hour shift. I ran over 1,000 parts, about 1,150, 1,160 parts in 8 hours. I worked through both of my brakes, and I was going to be about 4 minutes after the bell rang at midnight. About 11:45, the owner of the company was standing at the in his office, and he came down and said, "Craig," he said, "shut it down. We'll finish it in the morning. There's no way you should have got all this done anyway." I said, "Get out of my way." I said, "I didn't work this hard all night tonight to not finish. Get out of my way." And I finished the impossible. I showed up to work the next day, and he gave me $1 an hour raise. Back then, that was a lot. That was a lot. You say, why? Because I didn't care who was watching. I just worked. Wise people hold themselves accountable. They don't rely on others. And by the way, wise people don't complain when everybody else around them isn't pulling their weight. They pull what they can. If you have time to look around to see who's not doing their job, you're not doing your job as good as you think you are. Wise people don't fall to pieces if leadership messes up or falls apart. Wise people don't need praise to finish a job. Finishing the job is their praise. Man, I can't tell you how many times I'd work and work and work and work and work and work and never hear a word from my boss. I worked months. Finally, he came down one night, and I was running three different machines. I had a machine that would have been about that corner of the room, one over here, and one about another 50% longer on this end, and I was running all three machines that night. By lunchtime, I had outproduced a whole day shift, three men, one on each machine. And the owner came down to talk to me, and I said, "You can talk, but I got to run that one, and that one." I said, "You're going to follow me." Well, after about 3 minutes of him trying to chase me around that floor, he said, "Craig, just stop. I'm the boss. I own the place. Stop." All right. And we talked for a moment. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm working. I'm here to make you money." He said, "You Baptists are crazy." By the way, I watched that millionaire get saved. Amen. By the way, that millionaire gave us $165,000 for a building, too.
Amen.
And I never asked him for a penny. I don't even know how he really found out. number next, and I'm done. Last one. You ready? Some of you are really ready. Wished I would have quit before. Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse number 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces. Wise people don't give up. They accomplish. Did you know spider webs are even in the White House? They're in the king's palace. You can't keep them out. There ought to be about three words that you cut out of your dictionary. My daughter's about ready to quote them for me. Can't is one of them. Quit is another, and impossible is the other. Those are the three words that were worse than curse words in my house. Don't you say I can't. Don't you say it's impossible. And don't you say I quit. You keep going, whether you think you can keep going or not. Christians need to eliminate those words. Matter of fact, my Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not I can't, it's I can. I may not be able to do it in my flesh, but I can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. Wise people put the time in needed to get a job done, and the job done right. I'm not real smart, but I know how to work. I can put enough hours in to make it happen. Say, well, I'll get tired. Oh, I'm so sorry. Wise people don't have excuses. They find solutions. I get so tired of excuses. I have a little statement about excuses. Excuses are lies wrapped up in a reason. Everybody's got an excuse. Well, it's too hot. It's too cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. It's too this. It's too much. It's not enough. It's this. It's that. Why don't you just accomplish something? Wise people don't set an unrealistic goal. Mrs. Lopez, you had, what, 32, 33 on the bus on Sunday? I don't think you ought to shoot for 150 this Sunday. That's unrealistic. Now, I've worked in Bible colleges, trust me. Guy's running 30, 40 on his bus route, and he wants to have 100 the next week. 999 times out of 1,000 is all he's going to do is fall way short. If he's running 35 or 40, set your goal at 50. Just set it a little farther. I was in the car taking Brother Hiles to the airport one day. And I said, Preacher, I said, when was it that you realized? How far back was it that you saw this church being as big as it is? That was the wrong question to ask Brother Hiles. I'm driving down the Dan Ryan Freeway, and he grabs me by the shoulder and says, you think I'm stupid or what? And I said, excuse me? He said, nobody could have ever seen anything like this. He said, I didn't have any big range goals. He said, I just tried for a little more each time. He said, that little more got farther and farther. He said, we just kept trying to have a little more. He said, I don't have long-range goals. I just want to break the last goal. He said, if I go over by one, great. If I go over by 1,000, even greater. But as long as I don't go backwards, I'm satisfied. Well, that made a lot of sense to me. Too many times we think we have to meet certain criteria. At age 25, I want to be doing this. And by 30, I want this. And by 35, I want this. And by 40, I want this. Wrong answer. It ain't going to happen that way. Look good in a book, and you can sell lots of money and make somebody else rich from it, but not going to help you. Look how many books there are on get rich quick. And the only people that got rich quick are the people that wrote the books. Wise people realize that mistakes and failure are steps to success. Just because you fail once doesn't mean you're a failure. How many times have you torn down a spider web, come back a day or two later, it's in the same spot? The worst spider web ever. My dad knows about what I'm about to say. I was hunting down in South Carolina. If you've never experienced hunting till you've been in South Carolina, you're in short sleeve shirts. It's about 80 degrees in the morning. You're in ankle deep water, hunting deer, and you hear alligators in the water. And you're walking through the woods in the dark, and all of a sudden something just gets you in the face. And it's like somebody put a mask over you. And down there, they have these spiders. Honestly, they're as big as your hand. They're not tarantulas, but the body of the spider is about the size of the palm of your hand. And when they build a web, it's a web. And that thing hits you in the face. And I don't care who you are, it unnerves you. Because you're thinking, that thing's going to suck every bit of blood out of me I have. I was walking through there one morning, and all of a sudden one of those things just right in my face. And I could feel the spider crawling across my face. Say, preacher, what did you do? I screamed like a little girl. I'm not afraid to say it either. I have no idea if there were any deer in the area. I didn't care. That spider wasn't going to crawl on me any farther. Persistent little critter, let me tell you. It probably was about that big. I don't know, but you see enough of those big ones, you didn't want that one getting you. Characteristics of a wise person. Let's just follow what God says. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. You know, if we would just work at being wise, maybe a little bit more wise each and every day, thinking about what we say before we say it, not just how we intend to say it, but how is everybody going to receive it? On and on and on and on.